Today is the 9th day of April. Welcome. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is awesome to be here with you today. Great to be here with you. Honored, privileged, grateful to be here with you today as we gather again around the global campfire and continue our journey. If I got my days right, this is our last full day in the book of Deuteronomy. And we will finish Deuteronomy tomorrow and begin what comes next, the book of Joshua. So we are at the tail end of Deuteronomy. Let's take that next, the next full step forward, Deuteronomy chapter 33. Now this is the blessing with which Moses, the man of God, blessed the sons of Israel before his death. He said, Yahweh came from Sinai, and he dawned on them from Seir. He shone forth from Mount Paran, and he came from the midst of 10,000 holy ones. At his right hand there was flashing lightning for them. Indeed, he loves the people. All your holy ones are in your hand, and they followed in your steps. Everyone is bearing up your words. Moses commanded us with a law, a possession for the assembly of Jacob, and he was king in Jeshurun. When the heads of the people were gathered, the tribes of Israel together, may Reuben live and not die, nor his men be few. And this regarding Judah, so he said, Hear, O Yahweh, the voice of Judah, and bring him to his people. With his hands he contended for them, and may you be a help against his adversaries. Of Levi, he said, Let your Thummim and your Urim belong to your Holy One, whom you tested at Massah, with whom you contended at the waters of Meribah, who said of his father and his mother, I did not consider them. And he did not recognize his brothers, nor did he know his own sons. For they kept your word, and they observed your covenant. They shall teach your judgments to Jacob, and your law to Israel. They shall put incense before you, and whole burnt offerings on your altar. O Yahweh, bless his substance, and accept the work of his hands. Crush the loins of those who rise up against him, and those who hate him, so that they will not rise again. Of Benjamin, he said, May the beloved of Yahweh dwell in security by him, who shields him all the day, and he dwells between his shoulders. Of Joseph, he said, Blessed of Yahweh be his land, with the choice things of heaven, with the dew, and from the deep lying beneath, and with the choice produce of the sun, and with the choice yield of the months, and with the best things of the ancient mountains, and with the choice things of the everlasting hills, and with the choice things of the earth and its fullness, and the favor of him who dwelt in the bush. Let it come to the head of Joseph, and to the top of the head of the one distinguished among his brothers. As the firstborn of his ox, splendor is his, and his horns are the horns of the wild ox. With them he will push the peoples, all at once to the ends of the earth. And those are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and those are the thousands of Manasseh. Of Zebulun, he said, Be glad, Zebulun, in your going forth, and Issachar, in your tents. They will call peoples to the mountain. There they will offer righteous sacrifices, for they will draw out the abundance of the seas and the hidden treasures of the sand. Of Gad, he said, Blessed is the one who enlarges Gad. He lies down as a lion and tears the arm, also the top of the head. Then he provided the first part for himself, for there the ruler's portion was reserved. And he came with the heads of the people. He did the righteousness of Yahweh and his judgments with Israel. of Dan, he said. Dan is a lion's whelp that leaps forth from Bashan. Of Naphtali, he said. O Naphtali, satisfied with favor and full of the blessing of Yahweh, take possession of the sea and the south. Of Asher, he said, more blessed than sons is Asher. May he be favored by his brothers, and may he dip his foot in oil. Your locks will be iron and bronze, and according to your days, so your fortitude will be. There is none like the God of Jeshurun, who rides the heavens to your help, and through the skies in his majesty. The eternal God is a dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he drove out the enemy from before you, and said, destroy. So Israel dwells in security, the fountain of Jacob secluded in a land of grain and new wine. His heavens also drop down dew. Blessed are you, O Israel. Who is like you, a people saved by Yahweh? Who is the shield of your help and the sword of your majesty? So your enemies will cower before you, and you will tread upon their high places. Luke 13, 1 through 21. Now at that same time, there were some present who were reporting to him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, do you think that these Galileans were greater sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered these things? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or do you think that those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them were worse offenders than all the men who live in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And he was telling this parable. A man had a fig tree, which had been planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and did not find any. And he said to the vineyard keeper, behold, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree without finding any. Cut it down. Why does it even use up the ground? And he answered and said to him, let it alone, sir, for this year too, until I dig around it and put in manure. And if it bears fruit next year, fine. But if not, cut it down. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who for 18 years had a sickness caused by a spirit, and she was bent double and could not straighten up at all. But when Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, woman, you are freed from your sickness. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made erect again and began glorifying God. But the synagogue official, indignant because Jesus healed on the Sabbath, answered and was saying to the crowd, there are 6 days in which work should be done, so come during them and get healed, and not on the Sabbath day. But the Lord answered him and said, you hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath release his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? And this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan is bound for, behold, 18 years, should she not have been released from this bond on the Sabbath day? And as he said this, all his opponents were being put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing over all the glorious things being done by him. Therefore he was saying, what is the kingdom of God like? And to what shall I compare it? It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and threw into his own garden, and it grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air nested in its branches. And again he said, to what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 seah of flour until it was all leavened. Psalm 78, 65 through 72. Then the Lord awoke, as if from sleep, as if he were a warrior overcome by wine. He struck his adversaries backward. He put on them an everlasting reproach. He also rejected the tent of Joseph and did not choose the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loved. And he built his sanctuary like the heights, like the earth which he has founded forever. He also chose David his servant and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the nursing ewes, he brought him to shepherd Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart, and led them with his skillful hands. Proverbs 12:25. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad. Okay, so as we're continuing to read through the Gospel of Luke, well, we're given the opportunity to consider a couple of situations that were going viral that are actually captured in the New Testament because they were like what we would consider viral stories. Obviously, the technology didn't exist for something to spread like that, but it was a situation or a couple of situations that had everybody talking, like in Jerusalem and going out from Jerusalem. So this is like viral word of mouth, which is what they had. And so these things came to the attention of Jesus and they made it into the New Testament. So it's a rare glimpse into how word of mouth made stories go, you know, spread to go viral in the first century. So 2 significant events had happened that were spectacular enough to have everybody talking about them. Once you get that going, like you have a billion opinions about every aspect of these things. And as is true to form, Jesus brings everything very significantly into the world of the heart and made that a part of the story. So the first thing that happened was this, basically like a surgical strike by the Romans on a specific group of Galilean Jews who were thought to be zealots, which would be considered terrorists against Rome, like domestic terrorists. They weren't citizens, but they were allowed to live, and they were zealots, which was what Galilee was known for, its zealotry. And the thing that makes it so spectacular is that this strike went down in the temple complex in Jerusalem. That fact alone, like that's the thing that had everybody talking. So if you're a Roman, this would have been perceived as protection of the empire, protection of the people, justice, counterterrorism. For the Jews, especially with the degradation or the defamation of the temple, this looked like a political assassination. So depending on which side of the equation you're on is how you're talking about it, but everybody's talking about it. The second story was a story of tragedy that happened at the Pool of Siloam, kind of down at the base of the long climb up to the temple complex. The Pool of Siloam has been rediscovered and is being like fully excavated at this point, kind of tying with the ancient city of David. And there's this underground tunnel that just just opened up, where you can literally walk from the Pool of Siloam up to the Temple Mounts on the ancient streets from different eras, but definitely a lot of the ancient streets from the first century. So you're literally walking on the streets that Jesus walked on from the pool up. Like, that's how everybody went up. And so this place is a real place where this tragedy happened, the Pool of Siloam. There was a tower there. It became unstable. It collapsed. 18 people were killed in the collapse of the tower. So both of these stories, like, they're tragic stories, they would have made the news. The first one, because it happened in the Temple of God, would be an international story. The second one was probably maybe more of a localized story to Jerusalem, but still a tragic one. Both of these stories reached Jesus, so they're definitely going around, and he commented on them in a very interesting way. He says, do you suppose the Galileans that were killed in the temple, they were worse sinners than all the other people from Galilee? Is that why this happened to them? Is that why they suffered this kind of death? What about the 18 people who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them? Were they worse sinners in all of Jerusalem so that this tragedy was their punishment because they were worse sinners than anyone else? Valid rhetorical questions. People were obviously wondering if the tragedies had happened because of God's judgment on these people. We behave similarly today when we look at these kinds of things. It's not hard to find somebody assuming God's judgment anytime a tragedy strikes, whether that's a weather-related event or a war-related event or any other kind of tragedy. Was it God's judgment, though? Like, that's what Jesus is speaking into. Was that assumption that there was a divine hand in these tragedies, was that true? Was it judgment of sin that caused the tragedy? Jesus is emphatic. No, not at all. But I tell you, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. So Jesus answered the question, and he did it beautifully, and he did what he always did, took the matter to its heart. Every tragedy that occurs is not God's angry, punitive judgment. However, if our lives are not in relationship with God, in covenant, in the life of Christ that is offered to us, then everyone is heading towards similar fates. And in many ways, we're creating our own judgments based on the way we judge others. Jesus tells us that's the grid that you will be judged with. We're in very many ways choosing our own destiny. Jesus' invitation here is that everyone repent. And repent, like, that's the religious word, like, all the baggage is on it. But repentance just means to change your mind. Like, to wake up and see what's happening and change your mind and go in a different direction. Change from within. Jesus is the invitation to change our minds, to repent about who we think God really is. God isn't a hot-tempered sovereign who gets up on the wrong side of the bed, throwing lightning bolts, flying into raging infernos, knocking towers over to kill people. God looks like Jesus, and we're invited to change our minds about him, to repent. We can certainly continue to blame God for everything that happens, even though he hasn't done it. or we can live keeping God at an arm's emotional length, believing he's unpredictable, we can't trust him, or we can change our minds, repent, trust on a narrow path that leads to life, as with everything else in our lives. The choice is ours. So Holy Spirit, we come and invite you into the places that we've cast judgment. We've held grudges. We felt like you're not trustworthy. You don't show up. And when things are failing and falling apart, like we don't trust in your goodness. And sometimes we think that you have, like, you are after us. And it's not that you're not always pursuing us, but we sometimes feel as if the things that we get ourselves into when we actually face the repercussions of our own choices, somehow you've abandoned us when it's we who abandoned you and got ourselves into the situation. So we are very fickle in this area, and so we invite you into it. Help us to stop blaming you for things you have nothing to do with. Help us to cling to you, even when it's the darkest night of the soul, trusting that you are the one that knows the way out of it, that you are the one that can lead us back into the light and out of the darkness. Holy Spirit, come. Lead us into all truth, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. That is the website. It's where you find out what's going on around here, so stay tuned and stay connected. The Daily Audio Bible app can be found at the App Store that works with your device. All things new, coming quite soon. Not quite ready to say, here's the day, but it's quite soon, so stay on the lookout. Make sure you have the current app so that when the update comes, you can just update really easy. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if this mission to bring the spoken word of God read fresh every day and offered freely to anyone, anywhere, anytime, and to build community around a rhythm, the rhythm of showing up. Just showing up every day and allowing transformation to take place because of it. And so that no one has to feel alone in it. If that is life-giving to you, thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, no matter where you are in the world, or there are a number of numbers you can use depending on where you are. In the Americas, 877-942-4253 is the number to call. If you are in the UK or Europe, 442036 088078 is the number to dial. And if you are in Australia or that part of the world, 613-8820-5459 is the number to call. And that is it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello, DAB family. I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller. I'm reaching out to ask for your prayers for my son, who has recently received a difficult diagnosis of aggressive cancer affecting his esophagus and stomach. This news has been incredibly devastating for both of us, especially considering our estrangement over the years. Despite our past, my love for him remains strong, and I'm deeply concerned for his well-being. Please pray for his strength, comfort, and healing as he faces this challenging journey. I also ask for prayers of reconciliation and healing in our relationship, that we may find a way to reconnect and support one another during this time. Thank you for your compassion and support. Your prayers mean so much to me and my family. Thank you.
Hi, family. I felt moved to call today. I'm listening to the March 30th podcast, and I want to reach out to a couple of people. David, who called in, who's recently been released from prison, please know that there are so many of us who will be praying for you every day for these disappointments that you're having. Even as Brian has told us, when the people were freed by Moses and went into the desert, they still were disappointed in their new circumstances, even though they were freed. And I cannot imagine how difficult a transition that would be, leaving prison and coming back into life in a harsh life in which people may not even give you the time of day because they know that you're recently out of prison. Sir, please know that we love you and that to stay close to God, just do something every day, even if it's only for a minute, just a quick prayer, listening to the DAB, opening your Bible and reading one verse, just one little thing a day, because it will make a difference. All of those things add up. It may not feel like it, but they will add up, because I know that has happened for me. I also want to say how encouraging it was to hear the woman who had just been announced as Employee of the Year. What an inspiration. I loved your testimony, and I will carry that in my heart. And the fact that you work with children just plusses that up beyond measure. So thank you for calling in and sharing that with us, because we need to hear those successes. I love you all, and have a blessed day.
Jane Truth, this is Hands to Heaven. I heard your post in the March 28 community prayer about how hard it was to let someone love you. In my own past, before I came to know the Lord, I learned the hard way that people hurt you. Maybe they mean to, maybe they don't. But because of the skewed way I looked at things before I was saved, I became an emotional turtle. I protected myself and raised a wall and sat back behind it and watched the world go by. Letting someone love you means being vulnerable. That's hard when you've never really relied on anyone but yourself. Thank you for coming on and being courageous enough to put into words what some of us haven't said. I'm glad someone loves you enough to look out for you, Jane Truth. God always was looking out for you. But I'm glad he's shown you that others do too. This is Hands to Heaven. God bless you all.
This is Valerie in Spartanburg, South Carolina. And Brian, I want to thank you and Jill for your openness to share your experiences and also to encourage people into therapy. I think that is really huge to take the stigma off of that. And I also want to encourage anybody who is starting that journey. I will share my experience. I have been through a lot of therapy. I was in the military in 2003 and experienced a lot of trauma, and I started to work through some of my childhood trauma, just years and years of it. And, you know, therapy is like putting tools in your toolbox, and it helps you deal with things as they come up. It helps you start to uproot some of those seeds of sin that get planted through your life, whether by you or by other people. Maybe things that were unintentional, maybe things that were intentional by other people, but God can turn these things into joy. But you have to uproot the negativity of it and learn to get over that. And I just want to encourage you all who have started this journey not to give up, not to get discouraged, especially if you find one therapist that doesn't work with you. Please keep looking for somebody else. Keep asking questions. Interview them. So I want to pray for you. Father, please allow each and every person who is seeking therapy to find the right therapist. Give them the strength. Give them courage. And just set your angels around them. And I thank you for their openness to dig deep and to confront whatever they need to confront. In Jesus' name, I love you all, my brothers and sisters.
Hi, this is Mountain Girl in New Mexico. I want to pray for Justified Now in North Carolina. Father, I lift up Justified Now, and I pray that you'd give her strength as she cares for her husband. I pray that you would give her your love in her heart, that it would be shed abroad in her heart. I pray you'd give her wisdom in all the decisions she has to make. I pray you'd keep her body healthy and strong as she cares for her husband. I pray, Lord, for her husband's health. I ask you for strength and healing and renewal and restoration for his body. And I pray in all this that both of them would know you more and love you better, that you would mold and make them into the image of Christ, Father. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Hey, Daily Audio Bible family. This is God's Little Bird. I'm calling in because I said I was going to call in again about what I learned when I was teaching 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. The whole passage does have its own context about should we eat this if it's sacrificed to idols, da 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 da. But in the end, it says in verse 31, so whatever you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And so that's everything, right? Anything can be worship if we are doing it, you know, thoughtfully, with God in mind and thankfulness. And so I had practiced this. During the week, I had practiced doing this and that and the other thing in worship to God. And, you know, it did keep coming to me that, like, any everyday thing could be worshipful if you're doing it with thanksgiving. And so I asked the kids, this was not something I planned, but it just kind of just came out when I was teaching. And I said, hey, you guys, think of something that you don't think is in any way worshipful, some ordinary, boring, dumb task. Okay. Now, how many of you thought of going to the bathroom? Don't raise your hand. Ha, ha, ha. We had a little laugh. But then it was like, has anybody known anybody who's had a hard time going to the bathroom? And some of them nodded. I was like, you know, they needed medical equipment or something like that, you know. And so you could thank God that your body works right now. And anything that you do, because it says, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Anything that you do that's normal and boring, as long as you're doing it to the glory of God and thanking him for you know, the ability or something like that, anything can be worshipful. So that's just something that came to me. I feel like it was from the Spirit, and it was fun. And I wanted to share. God's Little Bird out.